The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
What country shall I say is calling?
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati in Oklahoma City, Marco Marquez, and now we have our good friend Nick Leckie in studio on this Wednesday, September 28th, 2022. What's up, Nick? How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. I heard some Velvet Underground from, we'll do a Royal Tenenbaums theme.
How about a
classic movie?
K-State at Oklahoma.
That was fun. First time, my son had a flag football game. So after the game, we're like, hey, let's go to Johnny's.
Oh.
Get some wings.
That's a good place to watch a game.
Get a side. And it's case, it was a very K-State friendly crowd.
Okay.
So I didn't have to choke anybody out.
And what did you eat?
The pizza.
Yeah, what pizza?
I got the Nuke LaLouche.
Yes.
No red sauce, because that upsets the GERD, and added the fresh jalapenos to it.
They got a good buffalo chicken pizza, too.
Yes. That's low-key, like a low-key top 10 pizza joint in Kansas City is Johnny's.
You know what?
Or high-key, even.
You know what they added to
top
the...
And those wings, and I got wings, too. So it's like a wings, pizza, and bourbon night.
How do you get the wings?
I like them flaming with the jalapenos.
Yeah.
And I also like
yes.
the buffalo. Why, Nathan?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Nathan.
That scared the hell out of
Good
Nick.
Good morning.
Yeah.
My man.
Yes.
Good morning. Where are you?
I love you, Nick.
Are you in the Beverly Hills Ritz again?
I would like to wipe the wing sauce off of your nice beard.
Yes, sir.
It's that good, though. About? I love Johnny's, man. And I'm slowly turning my kids back to Johnny's. So I'm like, they got all types of stuff. But I'm telling you, the best thing at Johnny's is that jalapeno ranch side salad. It's got like the leafy greens. Mm. They have like these cherry heirloom tomatoes. And the jalapeno ranch is phenomenal.
Okay.
Phenomenal.
So I'm going to get criticized for this. But they have a new item that I've had twice. And last week, when my dad was out here with our friend Mike, they went to lunch. We went to Johnny's Tavern. And both me and my dad had it, and it was delicious. Have you had their new jambalaya?
No.
They got a house-made jambalaya. And it's an add shrimp. And it was just, I felt like it that day. I felt like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I felt tricky that day.
Okay.
And I ordered it, and it was delicious.
I like that.
There's a lot of shrimp.
It's a cold weather food for me, too, because that's a thick. Eat it with a fork, right?
Right. That's delicious. And so, yes, that you made a good choice. And so not only was the food wonderful, and by the way, Johnny's Tavern, we love talking about you. If you want us to sample any of your new menu items, we have an open door policy,
yes.
especially on Wednesdays. What are you going to say no if Johnny says, hey, let's bring Nick Leckie some stuff for him to sample?
You know what I like to do? They have so many good sauces. Like,
yeah.
I like to customize that. So I don't know. I didn't know. Like, I'd never had a pork fritter until I moved up to KC about 10 years ago. And I'm addicted. I see pork fritter on the menu anywhere, and I get it.
Like that pork tenderloin, the big
the
giant.
The tenderloin, thank
yeah.
you. And because I like it's got that Fred Flintstone ratio,
num,
right?
Num.
Where it's, you know, the meat to flip your car, where it's like a bun on like this damn on an iPad is the size of that
yeah.
pork fritter. And I like to get it buffalo style with jalapenos.
Yes. Yes.
Put a piece of pepper jack cheese on that sucker. Oh, my God. X Games mode straight up.
Another favorite, there's the buffalo chicken dip. Thank you. So you can send that, some of that over here.
Okay. I am so Anywho. Hungry. I have not had breakfast yet.
No, neither have I. We were talking. I forgot my oatmeal. He said, call Nick and ask him to bring us something. I'm not going to do that. I know. I should have. I'm so stupid.
I would have.
But you watched that game.
Yes. Which game?
You're no stranger to K-State beating Oklahoma.
No.
But, man, this keeps happening.
Dude.
First of all, Adrian Martinez.
Love it. So, in my head, privately, because I never want to put pressure or talk about any players. In my head, I'm like, for these past three games or whatever game we're on now with K-State, was that their fourth?
Yeah.
I was like, where's the ganas?
Oh.
Right. Where's the desire? Where's the passion? Right. Mm. And it's like everybody plays differently. Some people wear their hearts on their sleeves, and some people are cold, unflinching robots. Right. When you play. You know, just, you know, different levels.
Sure.
That's the first time I've seen him play with passion. Like, he wanted it. Like, he wanted to make that third and 19 happen. He wanted to make those passes. And I'm like, that's what I'm seeing is a love is, you know how they say in Barcelona, right, the beautiful game. And he was playing with love. And I'm like, yes.
So, okay, let me ask you this. If you tell me if you think this is true. So he comes to Kansas State from mm-hmm. Nebraska, and where he's getting blamed, you know, leaving Nebraska for being the reason they lost so many close games, and he has that reputation. Well, he'll put up big numbers, but you get him in the fourth quarter, he'll make a big mistake and lose a game. So he comes to K-State, and he overcompensates, and he doesn't want to play that same way. I'm not going to say reckless abandon, but play with that passion, whatever you're saying, because he's cognizant of the fact that he's been blamed for making mistakes in big points of a game, and so he plays more conservative, and that's not him. He's not that type of quarterback. He needs to be more aggressive. And so finally, when you hear after that loss to Tulane, when and Nate brought up the comments, and I'm paraphrasing, when Coach Klieman, what did he say? Need to air it out, or he needs to cut him loose?
Cut
or
him loose.
Needs to let it rip or whatever. He finally hears his coach, like, you know what? We already lost to Tulane. What's the worst could happen now? If we're going to win against Oklahoma, I got to go be me and play the way I know I can. And he played with more of a freedom of not being afraid to lose because he wanted to win. Put that on a poster.
Right? No, I'm saying, and everything I'm hearing from all my peoples is that Scott Frost up in Nebraska was a total show, was a poo show. You know, so you wonder when the coaching factors into it, when you got a guy like Colin Klein who understands, you know, he's not that far removed from them streets, from the games on Saturdays. So he knows how to manage a player. Whereas Scott Frost, you know, I know they had a great quarterback coach down there up in Nebraska, but it's like, you know, man, total management. And then when you hear Klieman, you know, I think Martinez was probably like, man, you know, we hear a tenth of what we hear in the media is a tenth, and then the other nine-tenths is what he's, you know, said to the player. So it's like, man, you know, it's that talk of, hey, man, let it loose. Let's get it going, right? And I love how sometimes they're using Deuce as, like, the decoy, right? As, like, everyone focused on that, and it's like, you know, they didn't respect Adrian Martinez, and, like, he beat them. And shout-out to the O-line. Shout-out to this. The best thing about this game was that there were no, like, special teams touchdowns, no defensive pick six. It was mano a mano. It was complimentary football and special teams. You know, Malik Knowles gave him that little boost. But it's like, man, I was like, muscular offense. I think that's the strongest offensive showing I've seen from K-State in a long, long while, and what I was expecting from the tune-up in the bowl game, Colin Klein's first time calling.
Nate Buchetti, any follow-up comments about K-State winning against Oklahoma for Nick Leckie?
Boy, I just want to know how you guys own Oklahoma the way you do.
Tell them the secret.
Big time players step up in big time games, man. It's just one of those things, man. Just it's the Stoops curse. We make that a thing. Stoops left, what, 99 and raided the pantry. I don't know what it is. It's a weird thing. Like that stat where they're like, what I saw on Twitter, someone put Oklahoma's leaving the Big 12 to escape K-State, and it's so true. It is so right. True. Like, we don't want to get beat by K-State anymore. That's why Todd's not showing his face right now.
Whoa. Hold on. Todd, damn! If you're listening, yep. You've been challenged. You've been beckoned. Marco, can you see if Todd's available? I didn't tell him this time it wasn't me.
It wasn't. It was Nicola. Nick. Hey, quick cue, like what we were talking last week. Didn't Todd say that they were going to dust this off the air? And I was like, no shot, player. Like, there
Todd
was.
Todd just said 34-17. There he is. No, he said you're not showing your face. Wasn't me.
Oh!
He brought it up. Wasn't
he
me.
He brought the headsets
Wasn't
in.
Me this time.
Hey, so Todd and I were talking
me.
Earlier. Sit down,
he did it.
Todd.
We just had a 10-minute conversation
down,
about the game. And he,
sit
then,
down.
Why do you come in here and say lies?
He said that you're not showing your face.
I texted him during the game, what and I
say?
Told him.
I the
first quarter. First quarter.
First things first, I'm going to go hang his dirty Power Cat flag up on my wall,
right.
Which he was up there at 6:45 in the morning. I tweeted a picture out.
He did.
I tagged you in the tweet. Show my face. What are you talking about show my
Todd,
face?
Hey, what time did the game start? Like 6 p.m.?
Mm-hmm. At 7.
Todd texted me at 7:15. Good game. You guys deserved it.
It was close.
He abandoned ship at 14.
No, I could feel something wasn't right.
Okay, but why? No, seriously, Nate asked a question. Why does Oklahoma have so much trouble with Kansas State?
Well, Kansas State is good players and coaches. I mean, mm-hmm.
But
Kansas
nobody
State
has that kind of success going up to Norman.
This one was different than the others. I mean, the others, like we talked about before, they won their last time 38-35 with plus 4 in turnovers and blocked a punt. I mean, that's different.
Yeah, that's a different win.
They, in 2014, they won with a pick 6. And I think the leading scorer in Oklahoma history missed an extra point and a 20-yard field goal. They lost by 1 point. This was different. This was K-State rolled up 500 yards. Oklahoma rolled up 500 yards. K-State made the plays and Oklahoma didn't. This was different than that for sure.
Well, remember we talked about too. It was the third. They were like stellar on third and short, Oklahoma, and then third and medium plus. They were awful.
And that's Dylan Gabriel's issue. Dylan Gabriel's fine, but he's not Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield.
You didn't like
Jalen
Kyler
Hurts.
Murray when you had him.
Wow. I like Kyler Murray.
You didn't like, but you the only guy it seems you've liked. Well, who have you liked?
Heupel.
Of those quarterbacks, who those
well,
above
I love
your
Sam Bradford.
Criticism.
Yeah, love you like Baker Sam Mayfield. Love Baker Mayfield. Love Kyler Murray.
You didn't like Spencer Rattler. I know that
no,
for sure.
No, well, you know what? Spencer Rattler wasn't very good.
Oh, wow.
Spencer Rattler might have lost twice to K-State. Now,
okay,
Todd
so
is standing up right now. He's so
where
angry.
Were
well, you?
You
had your feet on the chair.
I did
he's,
not.
He's explained to us, where were you watching this game?
I was watching the game at Lance's house.
Okay, so Lance, to me, I feel like, is more outspoken with his criticism. What was Lance saying during this game?
We were Lance both very negative.
Like, give
this
me
game.
An example. Like, I wonder, like, what's
Lance always hates the fact that there's no push. That's what
no
he,
push.
He
no
always
push.
Wants to get pressure with four. He doesn't want to have to blitz.
Can't
it
get pressure with four. Okay.
Not this
and
then,
valid complaint.
And his complaint is every time there's a big play, Dylan Gabriel throws the ball high, which he does.
Not accurate.
Accurate enough. I mean, 67%. I mean, whatever. That's just like time. I mean that's what people do now is they all throw 67%.
So I'm not gonna elaborate. No, I'm not gonna embellish. You had said that defensively under Brent Venables is like night and day.
Yeah, so and I thought it was very disappointing.
Yeah.
I thought they would not allow 31 points to K-State without a bunch of weird stuff.
Offensive 31.
And they got
no
41.
Gimmicks.
And they got 41 without it.
No gimmicks.
Yeah.
No,
it was very disappointing.
No hype. It was all K-State.
Like, they didn't tackle well enough. It's third and 16. You have a guy bottled up,
man.
And you need to get him on the ground before he gets 55 yards. You know,
that's a lot.
It's disappointing.
Hey, they brought five. It was 5-on-5 basketball up front.
Yeah,
and with the twist game, and the O-line picked it up, and Martinez saw that and ran down. You know what? It was such a filthy play.
He was great.
The cheerleaders were upset.
Angry. It made the cheerleaders mad. Here's what.
So angry.
Here's what we
so
know.
Angry.
I think Adrian Martinez probably won't play that well again. But if he plays 80% of that, which is 200% better than he played the week before, K-State's going to be hell on wheels.
Here's the deal, buddy.
He doesn't.
Hell on wheels.
That's a great show. It's a great AMC show.
He needed to be that AMC good for them to win this game. Because they weren't going to win the game if he was 80% of what he was.
Oh,
the
no.
Other day.
Not like he looked like versus Tulane. No.
No. They would have lost by 40 points.
A billion.
If they played like that. But can they go do it? Now, here's they both have, I think this is an interesting week for them. They both got to get up at 11 o'clock in the morning and play like TCU and Tech.
Trap games. Hey, but guess what? Your boy likes when we go to Lubbock at 11 a.m. Because Hell on Wheels is a 7 p.m. game in Lubbock where they're throwing the stupid tortillas on the field.
And everything.
And those fans have been
somebody
nothing but the
tortilla to me right
West
now.
Texas winds.
Are you
I'm starving.
You already came in and took some of my food.
Well, I have peanuts. Literally peanuts. But I forgot my oatmeal. I was going to bring my leftover tequila Harry's. I forgot those. It's
a rough
ridiculous.
Anyway, I do take offense to the fact that I wouldn't show my face when I literally went in there and talked to you in the other room.
And I know what your answer is going to be.
And I publicly tweeted.
I know what your answer is going to be. But
the ratty flag.
I'm going to ask it again. Okay. You cannot pick your own school. So you represent Oklahoma. You represent Kansas State. Nate represents Kansas. Can't pick your own school. Who is the best team in the Big 12 right now?
Mullet.
I think it's
Mullet.
Oklahoma State and Baylor are the
Mullet.
Two best teams.
Yeah, I just say
Mullet.
One.
Well, I'll say Oklahoma State. I want to see them play a league game.
Yeah.
Baylor went up to Ames and was pretty damn good the other day. Now, I was super surprised they easily could have won the game out at BYU. They missed a kick, and all, there's all kinds of messy things out there. But that was a tough 9 o'clock at night. You were talking about hell on wheels.
Oh, boy.
Get the Mormons out there throwing whatever at you at 9 o'clock at night after having a drink forever, you know?
Throwing wives at you.
Oh,
Nick.
Welcome to the Big 12. That's Nick. At Stephen St. John.
Well, I didn't say nothing.
HB.com.
That was Marco. Nick, who's the best team in the Big 12? You can't say K-State.
Well, of course. Okie State. I'd say Okie State. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to give KU I'm gonna give KU their due, man. Ooh. I think they're playing with confidence. You know, I think they're playing a lot of confidence. So it could be that, you know, matchup Stillwater, you know, Lawrence. And Jalen Daniels is good, man.
Nate Bucati.
You've got to give him some kudos for being able to do that.
Same question to you. Kudos.
I'm going Baylor for now.
Oh, right. Wow. For
Baylor. Okay, now, here's the sexier question.
Baylor.
Yeah, around the horn. I have not watched play more than 5 minutes this year.
Right, that's fine. Around the horn. Who is the best quarterback in the Big 12? Todd Lebo first.
If I said Oklahoma State, I think Spencer Sanders is there right now.
Are you nursing at the teat of Oklahoma State?
But I think Jalen Daniels is in the top two.
You got to give
or three. I mean, he's been great. He has been a phenomena for Kansas.
What are you so loyal to Oklahoma State for all of a sudden?
He's trying to reverse jinx him, Todd. Todd's trying to reverse. I know what he's trying to reverse jinx him.
They'll puke it up somewhere, won't they?
Probably.
Right.
As will Kansas and Baylor and Oklahoma and
everybody. Who's the best
Who doesn't puke it up in the Big 12?
Jalen Daniels.
He's a Jalen Daniels.
I'm just talking consistency.
Fine.
Consistency over these past couple weeks. Look at the whole picture. Pulse check. I'll give him his credit.
He's incredible.
All the highlights look
Todd
solid.
Clearly he doesn't think so.
He only had, four incompletions?
Nate Bucati.
On Saturday?
Best quarterback in the Big 12.
Say it.
Jalen Daniels.
Yeah.
There he is.
We'll see what Spencer Sanders does. Here, Spencer Sanders has thrown 10 touchdowns, one pick this year. He is, I think. Nice.
How's he run the ball?
I think he's driven by how last year ended. He's run the ball for 110 yards and three scores, 4 yards a carry. I mean, you know, he's been.
Do you at least think Jalen Daniels is the second best quarterback?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, I don't
but
know.
Here, here's the deal with Spencer Sanders. They should have won the league last year, and he played like crap in the second half of that game, and they came up 6 inches short, right, on that last play of the game. So this is a guy who is driven, and I think he's got a chance to be the best quarterback in the league this year, and so far so good. Now, here's the deal. They're playing Baylor this week. I may have a different answer for you.
In Waco?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Road game.
I like Baylor in that one.
Hey, that's a pretty stadium, man. McLean Stadium right there off I-35. You can stop in West City in Texas and go to the check stop and get the greatest thing you'll ever put in your mouth.
Whoa.
Kolache.
Yes. Oh, kolache.
Yes. They have kolache. They have like a
this
raspberry.
Like a little German country down there, right?
Yeah. It's like check stop, right? Yeah. So what?
Check stop.
Not quite German,
yeah.
Right?
It's but that's Eastern European. There's a lot of settlers from there in
100%.
That area of Texas.
So kolache. Real kolaches.
Yeah.
Not like a roll with whatever. It's like a dough,
real
egg, sausage, and like jalapenos and raspberry.
Before we let you go back to work, just real quick, just answer these. Iowa State at KU. Iowa State favored by 3.
I like the Jayhawks. Till they lose, I'm gonna pick the Jayhawks.
Texas Tech at Kansas State. K State favored by 8.
This is on the road, isn't it?
It's
in Lubbock at 11 a.m.
Oh, it's in Lubbock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
It's in Lubbock.
What? Sure.
Don't look at me.
I'll tell you who has a lot of belief right now, and this is a letdown game for them too, is Tech. Did you see the little Joey McGuire post-game speech in the locker room?
Of course not.
Go watch that thing.
Really?
You would want to go play football again.
Really?
Beating Texas?
It's in Manhattan. Oh, wait, it's in Manhattan.
Is it?
What is wrong with me?
What are you talking about? Why
Nick
are you guys trying to, like,
Nick
I had
said
it
was in Lubbock.
My daughter's got a 12:30 soccer game, so I don't really care where it's
in Manhattan.
I like K-State to win that game, but it's not going to be easy.
But I asked you by 8?
No. Oh, I don't know. This unless
too much.
If Tech turns it over, but Tech, they ran 100 plays against Texas.
Legit?
100 plays. They are going – it's going to be a pressure on K-State's defense, and that's where the offense needs to come into play, keep the ball away.
Oklahoma by 6.5 at TCU.
I don't know, man. See if they get up off the mat. This is another trap game. Look here. You know what Oklahoma has the week after that? Texas. So now you got a little TCU mixed up in the
Red River rivalry. I can smell the state.
And you're picking
fair
Baylor. Baylor's favored by 2 over Oklahoma State.
I'll take the Pokes. And Spencer Sanders, I got to put my foot down.
What's the poke sign? I know Reckham is Baylor.
Pistols firing.
Pistols up.
But that's also Reckham, right? That's also Texas Tech.
Yeah, guns up.
Guns up is Okie State?
No, it's pistols firing.
That's what they say?
It's Pistol Pete.
Do they walk around saying, pistols firing?
That's the creepiest mascot ever, by the way. Okay. Why does that mascot look hungover?
Everyone thinks your mascot's the creepiest mascot ever.
Why?
Because it's a human with a cat head.
So there's a human inside of a cowboy.
But he's not dressed up in a football uniform.
Yeah, but what are you doing? It's a cat. It's the spirit of the cat.
Nobody.
The wild cat, the most noblest.
Anyone who's not a
K-State creature.
Guy thinks that you guys have the creepiest mascot.
Cap.
And you just ran down poor Pistol
Stop
Pete.
Stop capping, dude. Listen, Pistol Pete looks like he's hungover every time.
He
like,
is.
Like he walked out of a saloon and has been drinking bourbon
all day.
Yeah,
but I like
day.
That.
I do too, though. Yeah. I think I'm like a hater. Like I'm a hater.
Right?
Let me out of here.
We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.
Thanks, Todd.
Ema.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Well, the Chiefs lost to the Colts in very irritating fashion.
Oh, my God, to say the least.
Special teams fell apart all across the board. Any comments there, please?
It's one of the things you got to bounce back from. You know, not only did special teams fall apart and the offense fell apart. Giving the ball 7 times to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Pacheco getting 7 touches. I mean, how are you supposed to gain rhythm if you're only giving your running back 7 opportunities to get in the flow? Like, I know they go out for pass routes and stuff like that, and that's why they run the ball, but as developed as these route trees and passing schemes are, their run game relies on trick plays in the red zone and, like, basic, like, outside zone plays. And it's like the Colts had a scheme to their running. You know, they give, you know, Jonathan Taylor, 21, 27 catches, something like that, or touches. That lets them get into a rhythm, right? Find his thing. The Chiefs are like, oh, that run play didn't get anything up. Scrap it. Next one. And it's come back to bite him in the butt. It really has.
So, okay, speaking of the run game, you know, I've wondered several times, you know, could they give Ronald Jones a look? He's on the damn roster, but especially in situations that they're struggling in, like short yardage and goal line. But other people have brought up the point, well, the offensive line has not played as well as anticipated. So since you were an offensive lineman, I want to ask you about that. Have you been disappointed at all in the offensive line play so far, especially on Sunday?
No. I think it's one of those things where sometimes it's a funny game where all 5 are blocking great, and then there's one breakdown. And that's what it was. And it just happened to be where Mahomes was stepping up to or trying to escape to. But it was like 4 guys are doing it, and 1 guy's getting beat. And sometimes, you know, you can escape that. Like, sometimes you can get out of that. And what I saw on Sunday was – everyone's doing a good job, and then DeForest Buckner comes through. Glover comes through, right? And it just was really weird how they got pressure based off of one guy just getting free. And sometimes, you know, you can escape that, and sometimes you can't. But
what about the run game?
Well, it was like in certain drives, it was run heavy, and then they get away from it. Like, every time they scored touchdowns, like, they seem to sprinkle in a fair amount of run game. And if you don't have a run game to lean back on, if you're a DN, you say, screw it, I'm chasing sacks because I don't have to have run responsibility when you play Kansas City because they're going to pass it to run it. Yeah, it makes life tough on the O-lineman. It stresses the O-lineman if you have 50 plays and, you know, 35 of those plays are pass plays.
Okay, so we'll bring Nate into the conversation, but I read an article by Nate Taylor at The Athletic, and he mentioned the Chiefs so far in 3 games have been one of the NFL's worst performers in short yardage plays. In 12 plays on either 3rd or 4th down, when the Chiefs have needed to gain three or fewer yards for a first down, they have converted just 41.7%, the third lowest rate in the league, according to True Media. It's a small sample size, but it is what it is. The Chiefs are also averaging just 2 yards per play on those plays, which ranks 28th, and it's gotten worse since the first game of the year. The Chiefs have had more success on third down plays and when they need to gain 10 yards or more than they have in short yardage situations. Nate Buchanan, any comments on that? The numbers show that in third and fourth and short, the Chiefs have not been good enough.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that seems like that continues a trend over the years, doesn't it? Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I just feel like ever since Andy Reid and the Chiefs have had this offense, they're just not a great short yardage type team. And it's frustrating, but I kind of feel like it's worth the trade-off because they're usually one of the best offenses in the NFL.
Tell me here. So, and then there was a successful run play where Clyde scored a touchdown, right? And I liked it. And you know, people were, and more of that. But I would like you to specifically describe what happened here. What was successful?
So it's okay. Can you rewind it again?
Yeah,
it'll loop.
I'm a little loopy.
All right. So what good goal line offenses do? Like I remember when I was playing, someone said came from New England. I'm like, man, what's your goal line red zone runs look like? He's like, man, we had 4 plays. You had a sweep, you had a zone right and a zone left, and then this one you got a guy pulling, which is tricky, but if you want to do it, you can do it. But you got a guard pulling, you got a tackle pulling, so and you got guys blocking down. So you're creating a sort of like counterintuitive where the right side is blocking down to the left, and then the left side is pulling. So you got a guy going, and then you know, you got the running back getting a momentum going, aim direction up the field. So that's what you need to have, and that is a downhill run.
You like that, what they did there.
Downhill runs. There's no stutter stop, and it's not like you don't have a two-way go. It's like, here's where we're going, and let's run downhill. And you got the momentum going, right? So even if you get hung up at the line of scrimmage, you're going to fall forward for that touchdown, fall forward for that first down. So that's what the Chiefs are lacking, are these – they try to do these misdirections, and it's like, nah, man, misdirect with the O-lineman and then, you know, run downhill. I thought the Colts – They have great schemes when they run the ball. They had like this one where they got like a on the last drive and there was like 2nd and 20. And they did a variation of what's called a frog draw. And a frog draw is really cool, invented by TCU back in the day. And a frog draw is essentially you're the guard, you're the tackle. What you do, you get up in your stance, right? And then you turn and then you jump 90 degrees. Right? So you turn to your right. So you're facing east. Right? You're facing east now. And then whoever comes to your gap, pick him up. And it's great because it makes you go two-way go. And guess what? He goes behind you, left tackle's responsibility. He goes in an A-gap, that's your responsibility as a guard. And they got 18 yards off it.
Okay, so
Downhill.
Something else that came up after the game, Nate and Nick, I'll get your thoughts on this, and Nate Taylor wrote about this, a new personnel package that they unveiled, where Nick Allegretti and Colin Saunders were involved.
Yeah.
And Colin Saunders played running back in high school. And so Nick Allegretti was the 6th offensive lineman. He lined up next to Wiley, while Saunders, 6 foot, 324 pounds, was the 2nd fullback. And they both did their job well, and they won their one-on-one blocks. But Buckner beat Tooney, and that's why Clyde didn't score. And then Saunders, after the game, said they've designed several plays from that new personnel package, and also indicating that maybe there's a play where he runs the ball as well.
It.
What did you think of that? It didn't work, but what did you think of that creativity and beefing up and kind of like a full house backfield?
I like the concept, but I am vehemently against bringing in more people into the box to run the ball. Because what you do then, now they see that substitution. So guess what? The D-line or the defense brings in your heavier run stop linebacker. They bring in an extra D lineman, right? So you got more guys in the box who are beefy and know how to do it. My favorite ever run concept was Baylor. Because Baylor's running the ball single back.
Yep.
And then they got four wides. So you're looking at five-man, six-man boxes. And guess what? Chiefs throw it a lot. Let's run some draws with a single back, no tight ends, get the tight ends out of there, even though they can block. Let's do five-on-five basketball and see what they can do. So I wish the Chiefs would run more draws. And that plays to Hilaire's strengths, his draw game and reading it, right? Let him read this stuff.
Okay, so Nate Tice retweeted this. And
that's ridiculous.
Ron Kopp had this video that he posted. So
what
Nate Tice said, this run concept is the exact one that I thought the Chiefs would be trying to get away from this season. It's really hard for the running back to turn 45 degrees and accelerate through the hole. Just not conducive to Clyde's skill set whatsoever. And Ron Kopp said, outside zone won't work when the running back is this slow turning to the cutback lane. So describe what you see there and why that doesn't work, what they're talking about.
So why that doesn't work, because you look, his hips are outside zone all the way, right? And everyone wants to screenshot this and say, oh, no, Tooney and Creed had the wide open. He should have hit the A-gap, blah, 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 blah.
Did they do it in that voice?
That's how I read it in that voice. I read it in that voice. That's my moron voice, by the way. And it's like he's not even doing – his aiming point is outside of the tight end. So he's got no shot for a cutback lane in the middle there. But that play right there is like you could run a draw off that, and you're given – it's playing off your passing tendencies, right? They see pass pro, okay, I'm trying to get a sack. So that means you got your D-line go to pill. A draw, when done right, is beautiful. Because you're barely doing any work as an offensive lineman, and you're letting the D-line go up the field. You're pass setting. Wherever he wants to go, take him that way.
But this?
It's you're getting penetration on the right side, because guess what? That's what they're doing. They're teeing off. They're getting sacks, right? So they're penetrating up the field. So that cuts off that outside zone from the get-go.
And that kind of proves your point with the using the misdirection with the offensive lineman rather than the running back.
Yeah.
You can do that same thing with the offensive lineman, just run the draw.
Yeah, exactly.
I retweeted it so you can look at it, Nate, and then we'll take a quick break and come back and get Nate's thoughts. I retweeted – you can follow my account. I'm trying to retweet all these little videos that we're posting at SSJWHB. We'll be right back after this on the Border Patrol. Welcome back to the show. Nick, you played in you played for the Saints. Would you like to play in London with the Saints this Sunday?
Hello, governor.
Would
hell,
like
yeah, dude. I missed it. So I think this, New Orleans played there like in 08, and those dudes raved about it. They're like the nightclubs are open all night. It's, you know, techno. It's fun. They have a good time. It was awesome. They just raved about it. Said it was amazing. The Wembley Stadium is phenomenal. They got to go to like practice of like some English Premier League clubs, and I'd be over at the bridge, you know, Nathan. I'd be at the bridge just yucking it up, like stealing. Like that'd be the one time you see me geek out about. So I don't geek out about sports because I don't give a rat's butt about sports.
A rat's ass.
Yeah, I didn't know we could say that.
Well, of course we can.
I don't like to say that.
The official mascot of New York.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like
the
that.
The rat's ass.
That's a good brand.
That's a good one.
That's a good brand. But yeah, no, I'd be geeking it. I've heard London was so much fun. And you know, London's like New York City, right? So it's like this melting spot, you know? So it's like fantastic. But I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
Okay, Nate Buchady, did you have any comments on what we were talking about with the run game before we get some predictions from Nick Leckie?
I love what Nick had to say about the Baylor run game. You know, people think they spread you out back in the day to throw it. They spread you out just to run it as much as anything. Tackling in space is hard, you know. So I'm with Nick. I'd like to see the Chiefs keep things spread out and then hand the ball off. Because I think that's their biggest strength. But I really think they're going to bounce back offensively this weekend, guys. I do. I don't think you're going to keep this Chiefs offense down. I'm seeing a lot of people panicking, and I don't think it's necessary.
No. And the noon games are 100% trap games. They really are, man. Because it's like Chiefs are used to those prime time. It's easy to get up for a 7 p.m. Sunday night. A Monday night game or a Thursday night game. It's difficult as a player, but it's easy to get hyped up for it. But you get a noon game away on the road to a team that's 1-1, like they tied the Texans.
0-1, yeah.
Right?
1-1, yeah.
I mean, it's like, wow, you know, you don't get up for it. And it's like, I mean, it's like you give a team like that room to breathe. Matt Ryan turned it on the fourth quarter when it mattered. You know, they had a great strategy, and they perfected it.
All right, so what do you think happens between the Chiefs and the Bucks this week? Both teams coming off a loss.
I think it's going to be like, you know, one of them, you know, 30-30 type games, you know, type thing where it'll come down to, you know, who can run the ball the best will determine the winner. So I'd say whoever gets the most rushing yards, I think that's going to win the game. That'll be the decide, because, you know, the teams are going to air it out. You know, you got some great quarterbacks in there, and it's a great matchup. It's a really great matchup.
All right, do you have any fear of a letdown or a hangover for K-State after beating Oklahoma as they will host a pretty good Texas Tech team?
You know, I'm really hoping that there's not. It's always difficult, those 11 a.m. games. It's like a noon Sunday game. 11 a.m. games can sometimes be a trap game.
Do we say this, and you played, is there like that hangover effect after this huge win over a rival or a big win over a ranked team? Does it kind of linger and it's hard to get up for the next game if it's not a ranked team or not an arch rival?
It's hard to. And especially, like I said, man, these first on the docket games are tricky because, you know, it's like if things don't go well like the first quarter, then you get these doubts in your head and you let them sort of breathe so that way they can kind of grow and you get into it. And then if you don't score early, it's like, oh, are we going to do this? Like, I need to break the seal. Like, it's like, I don't know if this is going to happen. Then you start getting nervous and panicky. And then just a downward spiral after that, like the Nine Inch Nails album.
Wow. That went in depth right there.
Wow, I really did.
Nate, any follow-up comments to that? Try to top that, please.
Well, the only thing I wanted to bring it back to, since I've not been invited to be on this foodie podcast with you guys, which kind of hurts my feelings a little bit.
You should be on there, Nathan. I just retweeted it, but I think Nathan, because Nathan, people don't know this. I've seen Nathan so many times at lunch by himself after these things. So Nathan knows.
Does he cry? Does he cry? Is like tears?
He's reading a book. I'm like, I'm kind of jelly.
I like solo lunch.
It makes sense. Lunch. You talk for like 4 hours straight.
Oh, absolutely.
I would like that too. Just like, don't talk to me.
That's why people like, does it get old? The fact that you have to drive like 40 minutes home? Like, no. That 40 minutes is very precious to me. So.
Yes. I mean, I love being around people. I love talking to people, as you know, but even I like a little bit of quiet time after the show, sit down, have some lunch by myself. You talked about Johnny's Tavern being a low-key great pizza place. Just to put another feather in Jalen Daniels' cap for you.
Yes, that was so cool.
That's his go-to spot for pizza, he said, but I'm curious what you think of the flavor of pizza he likes. He wants pizza not with red sauce, but with barbecue sauce, chicken, and pepperoni.
Oh. You know what? If you were to ask me, here's the pizza, and then you're gonna say, who is it? I would guess some obese fat person on that one.
What?
You know, barbecue sauce. That's some London stuff right there, man. Is he British?
First of all, it depends heavily on what the barbecue sauce is.
Yeah, and it better not be that fraud Chicago, Illinois, sweet baby Ray's nonsense.
That's right.
I need some Kansas City barbecue sauce, which I didn't know that, by the way. It's really good barbecue sauce, but it's not from the crib. So get it out. That's amazing. Also, he took his O-line to dinner there. I saw Johnny's tweet that he took his O-line. That's so cool. There's a reason why you win, why you have success. If you feed the hogs up front, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Smart man.
I think, I you know what? I'm going to try that. And damn it, is he going to get a pizza named after him? That's all I want in this world. I need a menu item named after me.
Yeah, just give it a shot.
What menu item would you most like having after you?
Yeah.
Well, what do you want?
I don't know. That's you know my thing? I like to mix it up.
Yeah.
I like to mix it up. I really do. I think you could do the Nuke Lelouch, but call it like Leckie style.
Yeah.
I don't like red sauce, right? So I always get like the olive oil or the whatever they have, white sauce.
Very healthy.
Add jalapenos. It's not really that custom. You used to go like, get a pizza Leckie style, where it's like add jalapenos and no. So whatever pizza it is, you can just say white sauce, add jalapenos.
I'm still waiting for fried pickles to be an option for a topping.
Make it an option.
That's too much, though. I think that's too much.
With like a cheese pizza, though?
Oh, a cheeseburger. What about a cheeseburger pizza?
Some creamy ranch drizzled on top.
Oh, Marco. See, Marco's got the soul of 400-pound Jake.
Can't do the red sauce with it, though.
The soul of...
that's what he has.
Wow. Nick, thank you so much for the time. Now I'm hungry.
Is it?
Yeah, it's over.
Yep.
Time flies.
Where are you going to eat now?
I'm lunch by myself now.
What are you going to eat?
But Nathan, but you're right. It should be Nathan. Nathan, right by Steve, the hotel. Hey, oh, that's a hey, good those meal. Pancakes.
I've never had lunch at a Cracker Barrel.
Those pancakes at Cracker Barrel are hands down the goat.
Dude, we have a Cracker Barrel by our house. Goat. That's a go-to, man.
And use about 10 butter packets.
Just go fatten yourself up. Whatever you do, get a bunch of gravy on it.
Pancakes? Hey, get the pancakes. All right. And they got fried chicken and beer now there, too.
Hey, hash brown casserole.
Oh, gosh.
Remember what I said, hash brown casserole.
Pancakes. Okay? Get the pancakes.
Do it all. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.